From APM in San Francisco, I'm Molly Wood in for Ben Johnson. This is Marketplace Tech. The TechCrunch Disrupt Conference is happening in San Francisco this week. I spent a couple of days walking through a sea of new startups, waving their logos and hoping investors and journalists would notice them. Events like these are all about branding. And as it happens, so is TechCrunch's parent company, AOL. AOL is, of course, owned by Verizon, and Verizon just agreed to buy Yahoo for almost $5 billion. So how are all these brands going to get along? I spoke with AOL CEO Tim Armstrong at TechCrunch Disrupt. I started by asking him how separate the different brands will be.
Yeah, so AOL, we own about 20 or 30 brands, and Verizon has numerous other brands. And really, our benefit is our brands serve unique audiences, but the Yahoo brand will not only stay, but get invested in from a consumer standpoint.
And is that enough? Like, when you're coming at Google and Facebook, you are talking about scale on a level that no one else can even approach. Do you feel like you're finally going to get there now?
Yeah, you know, the most exciting thing about the deal with Yahoo and what we've done with Verizon is building a differentiated strategy. And I think that, you know, there's two strategies that don't work. One is the anything but Google and anything but Facebook strategy, and the other is copying them. So we're one of the only companies that's partnered with everyone in Silicon Valley and all the tech companies across the world. So we don't have to compete against them to be successful. We can partner with them.
So what is the differentiator then?
So the differentiator for us is we're really about three things. One is content brands. In many cases, people went away from content during the digital era. We went towards it. We bought the Huffington Post. We bought TechCrunch. We've invested in all of our properties. That's part of the reason we're buying Yahoo. We believe that brands and having a multitude of brands is really powerful. Second is data, is that we're able to use the data from the over a billion consumers to help target services better. And the third is our platforms business, which helps other companies. So if you think about Facebook as social and Google as search, you could think about us as brands, and we want to be the world's largest brand company.
That's interesting because I feel like throughout Yahoo's history and even AOL's, especially recent history, the big question was, are you a content company or are you a tech company? You're saying there's a third way?
Third way is both. Internally, we call it culture and code, but really what you want to do is make consumers' lives better, more convenient. It's really the pursuit of happiness on the culture side, and that's really what we're striving for.
Tim Armstrong, CEO of AOL. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Molly.
Also at TechCrunch Disrupt, U.S. Defense Secretary Ash Carter made an appearance. He talked about encryption, and he didn't say what you might expect.
We are staunchly on the side of strong encryption because we depend all of our systems, you know, all the planes, ships, tanks. Mm-hmm. There's no point in having any of that stuff in today's world unless you can connect it all. So we are very dependent upon networks that are secure. And are our networks secure? No.
I was a little surprised by that full-throated defense of encryption, but Amy Stepanovich of the digital rights nonprofit Access Now was not.
So this is actually somewhat consistent with the growing divide that we're hearing between regular law enforcement and the national security community on the issue of encryption.
Stepanovich says law enforcement wants to break encryption when it will help them fight crime, but the national security community needs to protect the country's security, and encryption is a huge part of that.
But the problem is that these conversations aren't only happening in the U.S., they're happening all over the world. And the conversations in the U.S. are actually giving political cover for other countries to implement different laws and different policies that are going to undermine encryption. And every single law is creating a worse network.
Well, so maybe we should just create our own law. Of course, first we'd have to agree on what it's going to say, and then we would need Congress to agree. Yeah, let's forget that plan for now. Author Neal Stephenson is known for his sprawling historical science fiction novels, and he was at TechCrunch Disrupt to promote his latest book, Seven Eves. It's about what happens when a mysterious force blows up the moon, causing humans to have to abandon Earth. At the event, I asked Stephenson about a major subplot in the book, whether social media is more likely to destroy us than the moon blowing up.
I don't think it's quite that bad. I think that we will develop a kind of immune system, and that 5 or 10 years from now it'll be a lot better than it is today. but this book was set kind of more during the present day.
Well, I feel like actually a lot of sci-fi that I'm consuming now has this overarching message that humans will find a way, that we almost can't be saved from ourselves.
That definitely happens, as you point out, kind of in the middle section of the book. But then, spoiler alert, we jump ahead and see the civilization that is built by the survivors of that disaster, and they've adapted. And so I think it kind of works both ways. We'll always find a way to screw it up, but then we'll always find a way to pull it out.
Some of your books have this really great sense of perspective. The thing that I liked the most about Anathem was the idea that it was set in a time when modern civilizations had risen and disappeared and been reduced to ruin. And now in this book, you're jumping ahead 5,000 years. Where do you think that sense of perspective comes from?
Well, I'm a reader of history, and I'm always struck by the connections that you can draw from reading history. I was just reading the other day, I was reading The Gallic Wars by Julius Caesar. He was talking about the fact that in some of these towns in southern Gaul, whenever a traitor comes into town, they'll gather around and make him give the news from what's happening in the other towns, and he'll end up just telling them whatever they want to hear. The traitor can use that to his advantage. And it was just a perfect analog to kind of political discussions on Facebook. That makes it natural when writing fiction to think on a longer historical time scale.
That was author Neal Stephenson. He also mentioned that Seven Eves is being developed into a film with the team from Apollo 13 behind it. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.